I don't mean to make you cry by saying what I'm going to say. I don't know about you, but I miss Bishop Dick. You miss Bishop Dick? I miss him. I'm sure he was a father to you all, but he was to me personally as well. He was a father. And he helped me a lot in times of hardship and in times of need. And our question is, we don't understand it. We don't know the answer. Why did he have to die? Why is there death? I thought Jesus conquered death. Why is there still death? I like the prayer that we pray in funeral masses, which goes, in the midst of things we cannot understand, help us trust in you. We don't understand why we still have to die, but we know Jesus has conquered death, and he has promised to us, one day, all of us will conquer death. One day, all of us will be resurrected. And I just want you to understand, death is not a tool of God. Death is not something God uses to accomplish his will. The Bible says death is an enemy. It's the ultimate enemy. So, never say, kinuha na siya ni Lord. Hindi nangunguha si Lord. God is not a taker of life. He's the giver of life. Right? When was that? Two Sundays ago, we celebrated that God is the giver of life. But, let me just say this to you as well. You may have lost one father, but you still have more. You have more than one father. You still have more. St. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, don't think you only have one leader or one father. Now, all things belong to you. Apollos, Paul, Peter, all things are yours. They're all your servants. All things belong to you. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. So rejoice. Okay, rejoice. Again, we may mourn sometimes, but in the end, we know God is good, and he's good all the time. And one day, every tear will be wiped away from every face. So understand that. Understand that. You're not orphans. You're not orphans. And having said that, actually, God has blessed you with a great bishop and many local leaders as fathers. He's blessed you. You are blessed. Understand that. You are blessed. Just the other day, the bishops were in consensus, and we decided that the next primate and the next future primates will have Cathedral of the King in Manila as their see, as their headquarters. So let's say Bishop RJ was chosen to be the next primate. Sabihin na natin, kinuha na ako ni Lord. Hindi ako kinuha ni Lord. We just said that, right? But in the future, he or somebody, other bishop in the Visayas was selected to be the primate. He will no longer just be your father. He will be the father of Asia. And he will be in Manila. He will be the rector of Cathedral of the King. He will be the bishop of the Diocese of Manila. And he will be the primate of Asia. But he will be father to all. Because you know what? We're one family. Why don't you tap the person beside you and tell them, we are one family. One family. So understand, if the next primate will be your bishop, don't be selfish as to say, he's our father. Why are you taking him away from us? He's not, nobody's taking him away from you. He's just being father to many more than just you. So understand that. Share him, right? Share him. Plus, God will supply another local father if that happens. So understand that. So we're one family, which is why I'm so glad, I'm privileged and honored and joyful to be with you today to worship our God. So that's the introduction. That's the introduction. God has a wonderful plan for us. You're so excited to hear that. God has a wonderful plan for us. Wow, it's so exciting. God has a wonderful plan for us. Amen, amen. And if I were you, I'd be excited. I'd anticipate great things. Great things are yet to come. Not because I'm your primate, not because Bishop RJ is your bishop, not because the priests are your leaders, but because God is good all the time. It's good all the time. You can rest in that. Okay, let's go to the Beatitudes, the gospel today. I just mentioned you are blessed. Are you blessed? How are you blessed? Why do you say you're blessed? Come on, give me answers. Why are you blessed? Why do you consider yourself blessed? Okay, ano pa? Sinagot kayo ng nililigawan ninyo? Bago kayong trabaho, bago kotse, what? Give me answers. Come on, no right or wrong answers here. Why are you blessed? Why do you consider yourself blessed? Hindi nyo naman sinasagot yung gusto kong sagutin ninyo. Good, but that's it. That's it. Bottom line is because God has blessed us. I was fishing for answers like, because I have a, I don't know, I have a new iPhone. I have a new car. I have a, you know, I was promoted. Okay, good. Good for you that those things happen. Those are blessings. Just not the same as how Jesus describes blessings in the Beatitudes. And we'll go to the Beatitudes. But Beatitudes, you find in the beginning of what is called in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is like the kingdom of God, the manifesto of the kingdom of God. And the Beatitudes serve like the preamble to that, the introduction to that. The kingdom of God simply means the government of God, the rule of God, the reign of God, where he is obeyed, where his principles are followed. Technically speaking, every square inch of the universe is part of the kingdom of God. Why? Because God created the universe, and he's bigger than the universe, and he's king of his kingdom. So he's everywhere. He's omnipresent, right? He's everywhere. So technically speaking, but the fullness of God's kingdom is manifested where his will is done, where his principles of his kingdom are followed. And the Beatitudes tell us, this is how you become happy, you become blessed. This is how you flourish in that kingdom, when you observe these things. Okay? That's what the Beatitudes are about. They are unconventional because we're so used to the ways of the world. So the Beatitudes would sound unconventional to us, antithetical to the ways of the world, paradoxical, countercultural, counterintuitive even. And they may seem sometimes like they don't make sense. We'll go to that further. But understand that the kingdom of God in its fullness, okay, I guess said technically speaking, the earth is part of God's kingdom. But the plan of God is to establish his kingdom so that it's fully manifested on earth as in heaven, which is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, right? So he says, last week, this was the gospel. Jesus repeating John the Baptist's words, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand or is here. Repent means change your mind and prepare for the kingdom that's taking over the kingdoms of this world. Kasi magbabago na yung sistema eh. It's like this. Several years ago, my first time in Hong Kong, I'm so used to crossing the street first looking to the left, right? Because we're here, right-hand drive tayo dito. So the cars come from the left. Not in Hong Kong. They drive on the wrong side of the street. You keep left in Hong Kong. If it's a two-way street, you stay on the left. So if you're a pedestrian, before you cross the street, you look to your right because that's where the vehicles are coming from. If you insist, hindi, sanay akong tumingin sa kaliwa eh. Titingin ako sa kaliwa. O tumingin ka nga sa kaliwa, nasagasaan ka naman. Because that's the new order, right? That's the regulation. Imagine if, let's say, England, where they also drive on the left side. Imagine England took over the Philippines. Sabihin nila, ay, binili ni Trump yung Greenland. Kami, bibili namin yung Pilipinas. So, that happened. And then, they say, from now on, we drive on the left side of the road. But you're stiff-necked, and you say, no, 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 I will drive on the right side of the road. What will happen to you? You might die, right? It might be a matter of life and death. Kasi mababangga ka eh. You have to change and adapt to the new system. And the Beatitudes are telling us not about traffic rules, but how to conduct your life in the new kingdom. Okay, understand that. That's what repentance means, is for us to adjust, to adapt to the new order. Because the old is passing away. That's what the Beatitudes are about. The Sermon about the Mount is about. Again, like I said, even if you seem willing to obey them, because you're so used to the old ways, you might feel awkward. It might seem like it doesn't make sense. If you're so used to driving on the right side of the road, kung manual yung sasakyan ninyo, nagkakambyo ka ng kanan, ito, babalik ta rin mo. You know? And you have to get yourself used to the new way. But, you know, it needs some getting used to. But understand, all of these things are designed for your fullness of life. Jesus said, I came and I bring these principles with me so that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. That's His will. Again, it's like you need a paradigm shift because you may not be used to God's principles. We're so used to, and this is what I was asking for earlier, right? We're so used to thinking that blessing means I have a new pair of shoes, or God, somebody gave me a love offering or gifted me with this and that, and I got promoted. Those things we thought were true blessings. And Jesus is saying this, no, you're blessed when you're persecuted, when you're slandered. Sino dito ang nabiktima na ng chismis? Ayaw niyo umamin, ha? It's not pleasant, right? You won't think you're blessed if that happens to you. Jesus said, no, you're blessed. Get used to that. Get used to that. It's a blessing if you're slandered for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the kingdom. Kung chinismis ka dahil totoo namang nambabae ka, gumawa ka ng kalokohan, then that's not what Jesus is talking about. But if you're slandered because you stand for righteousness and justice, then consider it a blessing. Because that means you're doing the right thing and you're like, you know, disturbing the hornet's nest and you're on the right track. If you inherit the earth, in order to inherit the earth, you should use force like the conquistadores did with a huge horse, a big sword, and a spear on the other hand. That's how you conquer and inherit the earth, right? No, no, no. That's not what Jesus said. The humble, it's the meek that will inherit the earth. Don't use the sword. Be humble. That's how you inherit the earth. Galing, no? So you have to change your mind about these things and understand. Because actually, just ask the Egyptian Empire, the Seleucid Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire. Where are they now? Where? No more. We have new empires today, but will they last? No. The kingdoms of this world are passing away, and they will become the kingdoms of our God eventually. And so you ask them, so how's that working? How did that work for the Greek Empire? Their strategy of using force and threatening people. If you don't bow down to us, we will crucify you. Wala na sila ngayon, right? Where is Caesar now? Wala na. Alala mo lang siya pag nagsasalad ka, di ba? Wala, nobody even knows about him. Just look at the picture in the book of Revelation. There's a war in the heavenly places, right? On the one side, there are beasts. There are bears and lions and beasts, predatory beasts on one side, and then Jesus, a meek lamb, on the other. Who defeats who? Right? Who defeats who? Who conquers who? We know the ending. That ending is the result of what is going on right here, right now. It's a process, and we're on a trajectory toward that ending. Yung mga mahilig magsugal sa inyo, nagsusugal sa ending, ito yung tayaan ninyo, di ba? Jesus wins in the end. That's sure. You sure you will win in the ending game. But blessed are you if you're meek and humble. Blessed are you if you ache, if you long, if you yearn for righteousness and justice. Blessed are you if you're merciful, if you're pure in heart, if you're a peacemaker, you will be a child of God. Hey, kala ka ba, child of God, if you believe the right doctrine. Yeah, that too. But Jesus said, you're a peacemaker, you will be a child of God. Eh, Bishop, hindi Christian yun eh. Yeah, but he's a peacemaker. Are you a peacemaker? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. So, what works now in this kingdom are peace, humility, gentleness, forgiveness, enemy love. Those are what works now. In other words, the way of the cross, right? The way of the cross, which is central to kingdom living, which is foolishness to the world. Totoo naman eh, foolishness eh. Especially in the Roman world. You mean you're following a leader who's a convicted criminal and was crucified? That's not power. That's not kingship. Kingship is this. Tignan mo yung Caesar namin. Mighty, macho, di ba? Lalaki ng muscle. Merong espada at merong tabak at may sibat. That's what power is all about. No. Cross is power. Foolishness to the world, but to us, St. Paul said, it is the wisdom of God. It is the power of God. That's what the cross is about. So repent and follow that way. Because again, the kingdoms of this world are being taken over by the kingdom of our God. And the process has started. Jesus started it. And it's ongoing. And you and I are being invited to participate in that work even now. We're called to go against the flow of the world and to turn the tide. Now, let me warn you, if you do that, you will face opposition. You will be persecuted. And Jesus is saying, if that happens, you're blessed. Understand this too. It will not always be like that. Because one day, paubos na ng paubos yung mag-oopo sa atin. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King. We're headed toward that. Okay? Headed toward that. Not pleasant at the moment. Now, it's painful at the moment. May seem like we're losing. But Jesus said, again, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And you will fit right into God's kingdom. And when the time comes, and we're there in the what we call the life of the world to come, you'll be very comfortable because you've gotten yourself used to living according to its principles. According to its principles. When I became bishop, auxiliary, but when I was appointed the diocesan bishop, somebody told me, right before I met my council, somebody told me, and he was a Christian, he said, you have to be firm. You have to show them who's the boss. You have to be large and in charge. And I thought, wait. But Jesus said, be the servant of all. And what he did was, he wrapped a towel around his waist, got down on the floor, and then washed his disciples' feet. He didn't say, I'm the boss. You bow down to me. No, no, no. You know how he'll make every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, that he is Lord? Not by threatening them, but by kindness. Romans says, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. Not the threats of God, not the threat of hell, not coercion. No, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. And you and I, by the way, the Beatitudes, the audience of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was only the disciples. He left the crowd down at the foot of the mountain. He went up on the mountain. His disciples followed him. Going back to the book of Revelation, there's a picture there of the Lamb and 144,000 disciples followed the Lamb everywhere he went and everywhere he led. Are you, at pagtanungan katabi ninyo, are you a disciple? Come on, ask them, are you a disciple? If you are, then follow. I love the words of this very popular Christian song in the 80s, the title of which is Upon This Rock. One line goes, if in a simple carpenter you see the Son of God, if you would choose to lose when you could win, if you would give your life away for nothing in return. In other words, Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. Then you are where my kingdom will begin. You are where my kingdom will begin. Again, the question, are you a disciple? Will you follow the Lamb that offered himself to be crucified, offered his life, didn't take lives in order to take dominion, he offered his life. Are you a disciple? Will you follow? Because if you do, then you will be observing the way it is in the kingdom of our God. Amen.